Okay, at this time, did you have some slides you wanted to show us there, Keith? The little video. Well, how many of you know that Keith is going to be here this morning and this evening? And how he usually does it, you usually have a two-part teaching series, don't you? Okay, so we're looking forward to it. So come on up here, Keith. Now, how many of you realize how many years he's been with us? Do you remember how many years you started partnering with us?
Oh, my goodness.
Are you going to be 20? Like me when it comes to when's my wife born?
Let me think. I can probably check. I keep a little record of...
Let's see. I don't have that kind of technology.
Let me see here. Let me see when I first came here.
I think it's 25 years this year.
I started coming in 1989. So this is our 25th year. You're exactly right. Yeah, 25 years
with this guy.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been boring since. Every time he comes, he always delivers a good message.
Every year in the month of November. Always this Sunday before Thanksgiving. We've done it 25 years. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
That's amazing. It's amazing I put up with you and you put up with me that long.
Notice, I just want you all to know the tremendous influence this great man of God, the Right Reverend Dr. Pastor Jan Butler, and I grew my Santa Claus beard just to look like my favorite treasure right here. So let me ask you this. Who looks like the original Santa, me or Pastor Jan? Oh, that wasn't even close. They voted for you.
I'm going to get back at you, Jan.
Praise the Lord. Hello, everybody. Great to see you. Somebody was asking me about this attempt at growing a beard. And I just came back from Costa Rica. And when I got back in the States, my son told me, he said, this is No Shave November. And I didn't shave the last couple of days I was in Latin America. So I decided to give it a try, to see if I could be like a Saint Nick for my grandkids this year. My problem is my wife. She is not real fond of this. So this may be the only church that publicly ever sees Keith Hershina beard. So feel free to Facebook it, tweet it, whatever. Otherwise, nobody will ever believe you. Praise the Lord. This thing could be coming off. Anyway, I do greet you in Jesus' name. It really is an honor for me, indeed, 25 years to be able to come and be with the saints at His Word. I love what God's doing in you and through you. You're taught of the Lord and taught in the love of the Father. I enjoyed so much the songs we sang this morning and even the declaration of that great creed. Hallelujah. We believe in the name of Jesus, and it's all encompassing the fullness of the love of the Father in Christ, and it's so very, very wonderful. But I'm honored to be here, going home for Thanksgiving. And then next Monday, Heidi and I leave for the Philippines. We have one of our campuses there. By the way, this is the 30th year of Mutual Faith. You can get the little magazine back there. And this is Heidi and I in our first year of ministry. And boy, she was good looking. Hallelujah. And we were living in Africa, in Southern Africa at the time. But you can look through what's happened throughout the 30 years. I think you'll really like it. Also, you see our new campus in here, which is called Life Center USA. This was acquired last December, about 2 weeks after I left you all last year. And so this new USA campus, we acquired it by the grace of God. It's been an amazing year. We're still floating. Hallelujah. We're still in business. And the whole expression of God's love and grace through there is just remarkable. But also, October 1st, we launched building an orphanage in the Philippines on our campus there. It's a promise I gave 2 years ago, and I decided my word had to be good. So against good natural counsel, because I'm already overextended, we decided to go ahead and make my word good in the Philippines. And so I'm going to be there again, leaving next Monday. Heidi and I'll be there for about 8 days and hopefully dedicating a new facility. I think we have a little video just on the Philippines. Let's watch this. For the past 20 years, Mutual Faith Ministries has worked vigorously in the troubled and turbulent region of southern Mindanao, the Philippines. Establishing a Mission Center campus in General Santos City, the Mutual Faith team, headed by Johnny and Josephine Davila, are dedicated and diligent to present God's great love to the people in this region. Even with the problems of political instability, Islamic extremism, and other pressures, God's grace has been sufficient. Our Mutual Faith Philippines campus consists of various ministry expressions, including the Mission Center TV studios for editing, producing local programming, and broadcasting throughout the region on the Mutual Faith channel, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the only Christian programming available on cable TV. The Pavilion, an outdoor venue to host concerts and events, including the annual Thanksgiving celebration with indigenous dance and song competitions. The Auditorium, hosting conferences as well as the local church ministry. Mutual Faith Philippines has acquired an adjacent property to build the new Life Home Philippines to accommodate 40 abandoned and orphaned kids in the community. We have commissioned architects and builders to plan the best land usage and architectural renderings. Hopefully, we'll have this project completed in 2014. Additionally, another adjacent piece of land was just made available for $25,000 and will provide the necessary space for the on-site school campus, not only for the Life Home kids, but also for the very poor children in this community. Ministry expressions conducted by the Mutual Faith Philippine team also include village evangelism and feeding programs in the very poor and remote areas, mentoring and academic programs so people can learn to read and write, Bible studies and the Life Leadership Institute to train and equip people in knowing and believing God's love for them, church planting in 3 locations with mostly new believers from the Mutual Faith channel. Continue to pray with us and help us as we endeavor to let everyone everywhere know God loves you completely, and we do too. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? So thank you again for your wonderful faithfulness to the local church and allowing Heidi and I and the teams of Mutual Faith to be an extension of your love and life in the nations of the world. It really gives us great joy to represent you and, of course, share the gospel all over the world. You saw on that particular campus the different buildings that have been built through the years and, of course, the broadcasting. So very, very strong and very impactful in terms of planting new churches and new villages. And so Heidi and I are looking forward to be there, not this week, but next week. And for the dedication of the new facility. Praise the Lord. What I'd like to do today is put something in your heart that really will help you. I want to give you something to feed on. This is a great week to talk about feeding because we all like Thanksgiving dinner, don't we? We all like to gather together with family or friends or somebody and just have a big spread and just go for it. You know, have you noticed that when you always sit at a table and you're passing the plates, you always don't enjoy everything that's on the table. Sometimes you are nitpicky, so to speak. You know, the Father, your Heavenly Father, wants to have you sit at the table with Him. And He wants to feed you the love of the Lamb. But the way He's going to feed you the Lamb of God is going to have different distinctive taste and different aromas that you may not be fully familiar with. It may astonish you. The love of God in Christ is so overwhelmingly powerful that sometimes it's hard to swallow. It's hard to believe because none of us know how to live in this kind of love based on our own capacities. We need to be loved so we can love. Do you know that your love for God is really dependent on you knowing and believing that He loves you? Do you know your love for Him is strictly reciprocal? You can only love Him because you know He first loved you. And that's why the focus of my life these days is not really trying to love God I really don't give that any thought. My focus is on letting God love me. Just being loved. Sitting at the table, being absolutely in awe with God's love and acceptance of me. Do you know what it does? It turns the table, so to speak, and allows me to love Him. And allows me to live in that love to those around me in this, you know, kind of natural world that we're all stuck in, so to speak. We need a supernatural love of God that's strong enough and big enough so we can just get along with each other, let alone just get along with ourselves. You know what I mean? Are any of you that human to know that you in and of yourself can't fix yourself? Have any of you figured that out yet? I have. I'm well aware, very well acquainted with my humanity. That's why I like the lyrics of the song the worship team had us sing today. I stand in awe of the never-failing love of Jesus. Do you believe that God's love never fails? Do you believe that God's love for you doesn't keep record of your wrongs? Do you believe God's love for you is so astoundingly rich that you can feed on this kind of unbelievable thing to a natural man, but this absolutely awestruck, beautiful meal of the love of God in Christ? Revelation chapter 3 says it this way in verse 20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door, I will come into him." Notice there's no hesitancy on Jesus. I will come into him. And I will dine with him. And he with me. You know, the Father just wants your company. He wants you to have the courage to believe that he loves you as you are. Not as you need to be. And that if you'll just sit at the table and let him give you a feast on the love of the Lamb, it will transform your thinking about who you are before him and who you are among men. So you have the capacity to live the ministry life or the life-giving life that he calls all of us to do. But Jesus said, "I'll come into him and I'll dine with him. And he with me." So you have a standing invitation for fellowship. You actually have access. Most people today want access, to whatever, to get them the good job, the good favor, the good whatever. And you have access with the Father in Christ to sit at the table and to dine and to feed. You know, it's the meal that will heal your heart. It will take every point of pain from you. It will rip it out of your system. It's so beautiful. It's the meal that will reveal who you are to the Father in Christ. And you're looking good before the Father in him. You look real good. So it's a beautiful thing. And that's why you have to sit at the table and really dine. Jesus said the same thing to the disciples in John 21. This is after he was raised from the dead. He said to them, "Come and dine." I love that phraseology in the King James Version. "Come and dine. Let's have a meal." And the disciples dared not to ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. So you have an invitation to sit at the table. It's not a meal of condemnation. It's not a meal of judgment. It's not a meal to tell you what's wrong with you. It's a meal to reveal what's right about you. Because God doesn't see you for you. He sees you in the Beloved. I've shared this many times before here, that your position before the Father technically has nothing to do with you. Your position before the Father has everything to do with the Lamb. And so your faith gets you out of yourself into himself. And your identity now is in him. In the new covenant, Paul the apostle brings the revelation of our in him or in Christ position. And he always anchors all of his teaching and all of his books. The first part with the theology of our position in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. And that empowers us for our moralism type life. Are the way we live. But the way we live isn't what qualifies us. Jesus qualified us. And the beautiful thing is when you get your heart so filled with the awe of the revelation of your righteous position before God, then you're equipped to live a life that's accountable and in accordance with His character. But it's all based on sitting at the table and having a good meal. You know, a lot of precious people in our culture today are malnourished. You know, all these health experts tell you not to eat too much junk food and too much this, too much that, too much what, caffeine, too much whatever, because they say we're really malnourished. Some people say we don't drink enough water, that most of us are just are mal, you know, we don't have enough good ingredients. And spiritually speaking, I think something similar could be said, that we don't sit at the table enough. We don't dine with the Lord. We don't let the Father feed us with the feast of something that astonishes us. Because most times when we get something on this radical dimension of the love of God, like the lyric said, that puts us in awe, you got to be kidding me. You know what we do? We can't swallow it. And you know what we do? We pass the plate. And we say, no, no, thank you. Have you ever been invited to a meal and you're passing all these plates? Maybe it's a family reunion or something, and things that you like, you pile it high and deep. Isn't that right? Like mashed potatoes. Oh, my, my, my. Yeah. But then something comes by that you don't like the aroma of. You don't like the presentation of. Let's say it's cooked cabbage. And it comes by. You know what you do at the table? You act like a very good hypocrite. You don't say, oh, this is yucky. Who brought this nonsense? This should be buried out back behind a tree. You don't do that because you don't want to insult the person who made the dish. How many know I'm telling the truth? Do you know what you do? This is what this preacher does. This preacher says, oh, my goodness, my plate is so full now. I'm a brilliant, you know. Is that a white lie? Whatever it is, I do that because I don't want to insult the person who brought the dish. So you know what I do? I can't swallow it. So you know what I do? I pass the plate. You know, a lot of people do that, sit at the Father's table. They're not astonished at the love of God in Christ for them. They don't believe it. They still think they have to qualify. They live a life of such burden and such pain, and they pile it on other people with a ministry of judgment and condemnation, because they look at people according to the flesh, not according to the redeemed innocence. But the love of God in Christ gives you a different picture of you, and it gives you a different picture of those around you if you can swallow it. But you got to taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to nibble on the love of God in Christ. It's thrilling. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. It's awesome. So you have a meal that will heal, but you have a meal that will reveal who you are before the Father. And I need it constantly. I need it every day. I need it every night. I want to be thrilled with the love of God in Christ. You know, when the Father feeds you Jesus, that's all He'll feed you. He'll just feed you the Lamb and the Lamb alone. Because it's Jesus plus nothing and you get everything. Jesus is the appetizer. Jesus is the main meal. Jesus is the dessert. He's the full helping of everything. But when He feeds you Jesus, like I think I taught you before, He won't feed you Jesus according to His life. He'll feed you Jesus according to His death. Because you're safe in the death of Jesus. See, most people that are never fully addicted to the love of the Father only are trying to understand Jesus according to his life, according to his miracles, according to what he did. And that's good news, because that shows you a perfect picture of who your Father is. But if you only understand Jesus according to his life, you can know that God is good to you. But if you understand Jesus according to the cross, according to his death, now you can know that you are good to God. See, what transforms people is the revelation that you're good to God because of the Lamb. That's the thought that you got to be kidding me. That's the thrill of the meal. That's what gives you the capacity to ask for seconds and thirds and get absolutely loaded with the revelation of the cross. That's why Paul, the apostle, he said, I choose to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's what I'm going to proclaim. It's what I'm going to reveal. And I'm going to show you and bring you a manifestation of Jesus, not according to his life, but according to his death. Paul refused to get the testimonies of people. He separated himself for a period of like 3 years and was unknown and had the revelation of Jesus according to the cross. It's very interesting to me on how you feed if you're at the table. Because a lot of people can be at a table and just not get the flavor of really what's there. When Jesus was raised from the dead, and he preached really a new covenant message, a message after the cross and after the resurrection. His new covenant message was, this is found, by the way, in Luke 24. Jesus would take passages of the writings of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. He would take the Psalms. He would take the writings of the prophets. And the Bible said he would preach concerning himself. This is found, by the way, in Luke 24. He goes on to say in verse 30. Jesus was walking with these disciples. It says, now it came to pass, Jesus sat at the table with them. See, what's he talking about? He's talking about having a meal, coming and dining. See, the great transformation that you find for you is not through your religious activity, as good as it may be. The greatest transformation you'll find for you is to sit down and let the Father feed you Jesus. In a way that shocks you. In a way that makes you think, nah, that can't be. That's too good. That's too overwhelmingly good for me. I've got to somehow, you know, have this up to me. No, it's not up to you. It's up to him. We sang that other song, that he'll never let us go. How many believe he'll never let you go? He'll never let you go. Oh, no. Made me just want to do a little dance. Hallelujah. I thought me and old Saint Nick would just absolutely bust out in a hallelujah. Oh no, he'll never let us go. And you know what? If anybody should have ever been let go, it probably should have been me. I think sometimes, like the Apostle Paul, I got to be the greatest of sinners because I know my frailty. I know my humanity. So the love of God astonishes me. I'm crying better than I'm preaching, and you know it. Hallelujah. But that's the beauty of it. The beauty is to know you're loved, you're accepted, you're righteous, you're redeemed, you're holy, you're blameless. Before him in love. Hallelujah. So this is what Jesus said. Luke 24 verse 30. Now it came to pass, Jesus sat at the table with them. He took the bread, he blessed it and broke it. He gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Notice they didn't have a clue who he was while he preached. Jesus was a pretty good preacher, but his preaching didn't do the work. His preaching made their hearts warm, but a little goosebump now and then doesn't fix you fully. So when Jesus said, these guys are clueless and my preaching's not good enough to transform them, I will sit with them and feed them. Communion. He painted a picture for them with the bread in the cup. And instantly when he broke the bread, they knew it was the Lord. Why? Jesus wasn't showing them his life. He was showing them his death. The revelation of your acceptance to God always comes in the death of Jesus Christ. Your righteous position before the Father has to do with the Lamb. You have to feed on it. That's what thrilled and astonished these two that he walked with. They knew it. He was the Lord. And Jesus split. See, we're to know Jesus, again, not according to his flesh life, but according to his death life, according to the cross. When you need to know Jesus according to his death, you can know that you are good to God. But when you know Jesus according to his life, you know God is good to you. What transforms you is when you know you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all him and him alone. If you believe that, give the Lord another shout. Can you do that? Hallelujah. Look at the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. This is kind of cool. Verse 15, it says this, and Jesus died for all. How many believe Jesus died for all? That means everyone, everywhere was included. That would mean that you were included before you were born. Because he only died once, right? Once and for all. So Jesus died for all, that those who live, that you and me, in our living capacity now, in our human life, we should no longer live for ourselves. See, the way you know the love of God is transforming you is when you no longer have addiction to yourself. This is a very hard way to live because most of us are very self-serving because we live very scared. We're very frightened people. We're not really confident in Jesus fully. But the Bible says those that live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So again, your identity before the Father again is painted not in the life of Jesus, but in the death of Jesus. Look at the next verse, verse 16. It says, therefore, what's therefore, therefore? Because of the preceding verse, because of the death and the risenness of Jesus Christ. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. See, because of the cross, we're not to know anybody according to their flesh life or their human life. We're to see them through the finished work of Jesus and announce their position before the Father in the Lamb. It can change the way they think about themselves so repentance can come and they can step into the reality of the new creation. We have come to know Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. See, before people would just try to know Jesus according to the flesh, but transformation doesn't really grip you there. It's when you know Jesus according to the cross. It's when you no longer know Jesus according to the flesh. It says, from now on we know him thus no longer according to the flesh. And because of that, because of the way Jesus just preached, look at the next verse, verse 17. Therefore, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she's a new creation. How many know this verse by heart? Yeah, most of us, some of us, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, I've known that verse for 1,000 years as a preacher, but never knew the preceding verses. But the idea of being a new creation is understanding and knowing Jesus through his death and risenness and not knowing him according to his flesh, but according to his death. And when you have confidence that your identity before the Father is based on the Lamb, you understand the reality of the new creation you become. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. This kind of feeding is what Jesus wants you to be thrilled with. The next verse goes on to say in verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, here's the definition of our ministry. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting or imputing their sin or their trespasses to them. See, love keeps no record of your wrong. Now, it's hard for people to believe, but that's why that lyric we sang in the song, it's like awe. It's like out of this world thinking. But it says here, God in Christ reconciled the world to himself, doesn't count their trespasses to them, and he's committed to us a word of reconciliation. Pastor Jen and I were talking about some of the issues in the Middle East before we came into the service today. And I got an email this morning. The church is so kind to give me a room. I'm in a little hotel here. And I got an email this morning from our team leader in Beirut, Lebanon. Tonight I'm going to show you a video of what's happening there and what's happening now with all the ISIS issues. But in this email from our team leader, it's just so alarming. It just makes your physical body tremble with what people go through. But when I'm there preaching to Syrian Muslims or whomever that are refugees, what I try to do is have a word of reconciliation. In other words, I don't go to them and start the conversation, say, you guys are a bunch of losers, you're going to hell. Your God's not my God, and you're on the wrong side of the fence. No, why start contentiously? What you want to do is keep people at a table. So what you do is you talk to them about the point of pain, that life is full of heartache. We're all overwhelmed. But then you point them to the picture of Jesus, not according to his life, but according to his death. And how Jesus Christ took our pain, took our sin, took our trouble, took our mental torment, took our sickness, took our disease, and how he became a sacrifice so you and I can be reconciled to the Father. You paint a picture, and now suddenly you have the whole people, all the Muslims, who you don't like, maybe politically or theologically or whatever, but I choose not to have an opinion among anybody that I don't wholeheartedly agree with. What I'd rather do ministry related is give up my right to be right. Because I'm not a politician. And you know what? I'm not here to solve the world's issues. I'm here to point people to the one who fixes them perfectly and let them come into Christ Jesus. If I was something else, maybe I'd operate a different way. But I'm a gospel ambassador, hallelujah, to the whole world. And I want to let everybody everywhere know that God loves you completely and he's got nothing on you. Because God was in Christ. Reconciling the world. And all I want them to do is sit at the table and let the Father give them a feast of the love of the Lamb. Because the love of the Lamb is what's astonishing. You know, when people preach like this, goes on in this text that in verse 21, that he became sin so we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's astonishing, but that's really a perfect picture of the love of God. You know, when people preach like this, it doesn't always make the religious community happy. You know, astonishing love makes a lot of people mad. Because we still want people to perform to prove their acceptance. When the Father said, you're welcome at the table. Here's something I found when Jesus preached this way. It ticked everybody off. And you know what? It didn't bother Jesus to paint a picture of his death to those he was preaching to. Look at what he says in John chapter 6. You ought to read this whole thing. It's kind of cool. John chapter 6, verse 53. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What a bummer. Now think about that. Let's pretend that you're the crowd and I'm Jesus and I'm preaching to you today. And Jesus says to you, if you don't eat my flesh, if you don't drink my blood, you've got no life in you. And you're looking at me like, man, the guy is a lunatic. The guy's talking about being a cannibal. The guy's talking about being nuts. Eating his flesh, drinking. It sounds crazy. What's Jesus painting a picture of? The cross. He's painting a picture of the communion we as believers take, the body and the blood, the cup of wine, the bread that's broken, right? That brings the revelation of your redeemed innocence. It brings the revelation of your righteous position. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. It's pretty simple. Jesus said, if you just sit at the table And when the Father passes you the love of the Lamb, just swallow it. So you got to be kidding me, but let me have a little dab. It might do me good. Hallelujah. Let me just begin to swallow it and change my worldview of my position before the Father. Otherwise, your position before the Father is always going to be up to you, and it will torment you because you're just not that good on your best day. And when you think you're that good, you've disqualified yourself through your self-righteous thoughts. It's the love of the Lamb and the love of the Lamb alone. I'll raise him up on the last day. Notice, your risenness is dependent on just understanding what Jesus has done in feeding on him. Verse 55. For my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. See, this is the love of the Lamb. Verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. Notice the way to abide in Jesus is just sit at the table and say, Father, go ahead, pass me some more of the revelation of the love of the Lamb. This is why Heidi and I take communion all the time. Man, we take it in points of pain. We take it when we're ticked off. Take it when I'm angry at whatever's happened, what's gone wrong, whatever attack. I just sit at the table, say, Father, I'm going to abide in you. Get me the juice and get me the bread. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm going to feast and feed on the love of the Lamb. It's my rescue. And I in him. Verse 57, is there another verse there? As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. I love that. He who feeds on me will live because of me. Friend, I want you to believe today that you're good to God because of the Lamb and the Lamb alone. And I want you to be astonished at the meal. I don't want you to pass the plate. I want you to become so tired of your self-efforts to qualify in your own mind or the self-efforts of others to qualify them. Maybe you're not like this, but let me just give you a perfect picture of me through the years. I had no idea how judgmental I could be. Now you think, Keith Hershey judgmental? He's not a judgmental preacher. How could he be judgmental? It's amazing the opinions you can have of people based on their life, their language, their lifestyle, their knowledge of Scripture, their theology. And I found, man, I was writing off a lot of people. And I could be very, very, very judgmental. So I've made a decision in my life, according to the passage we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, not to know anybody according to the flesh. That's the hardest thing I've ever tried to do, and I've just tried to do it this year. Not to know anybody according to the flesh, but to know everybody according to the cross. In other words, try to see them from God's perspective through the lens of the Lamb and have that be my declaration of them and to them. In other words, announce the reconciled position before they have a clue of it. So faith can come and the astonishment of the love of God can grip them and they say, I want to believe. See, that's what happens in the Middle East when I'm there. All these Muslims who we think hate our guts or whatever. Man, the love of God changes them. And man, they all lift their hands. They all weep. They all have prayers of faith. So all I did is change my equation and not to announce some flesh feeling toward them according to their flesh, but to see them through the lens of the Lamb and announce their reconciled innocence and astonish them with what amazing love and just say, sit at the table. Eat. Drink. Be merry. You're included. God's got you. You're in Christ. And then transformation can take place in the lives of people. Look at this. Acts chapter 10. When you and I see everybody from God's point of view through the finished work of Jesus, it changes your paradigm in such a way that it's hard to swallow. Because most of us just look at everybody according to what they do wrong. Heidi and I, my wife, of 30 some odd years. How long have we been married? 32 years. And we've been going through a situation that's been very, very, very painful with family, friends, and things. And what I sometimes revert to in my anger or irritation is just to know people according to my flesh and give people my opinion, which is usually not real wholesome. But none of you are like that. That's why I like you all so much. This church, I've been told, has the greatest self-control of any church that's ever existed. But see, sometimes I see people according to my flesh and give them my opinion. And it's not pretty. And you know what I find when I'm in the flesh? My flesh always fails. There's no good thing in my flesh. I have no confidence in it. So why would I trust my flesh for my confidence for righteousness? Why? Why buy into that kind of insanity that it's up to you to save you? Just sit at the table and have another stiff drink. Hallelujah. And pass the plate of the love of God, pass the plate of the blood of the Lamb, and eat it and drink it and get merry again. Be astonished with the love of God. So anyway, in my personal life, and even with issues overseas, my. Sometimes I just struggle in my humanity. So I'm trying to see everybody, not according to their flesh. And I hate this assignment, because I want to give people my opinion. You know, Jesus knew nobody according to the flesh. He knew them according to the cross. And he proved it with his disciples, because he had a bunch of losers around him. And you know what? About the 12 losers he selected, the Bible says those are ones he selected after prayer, whom he wanted to be with. And he picked a bunch of crooks. Huh? And cussers and thieves. And he wouldn't fire none of them. I'd fire all of them. You know, the Bible says... The Bible says that when he went to the cross, they all forsook him and fled. We just pick on Peter, but the Bible says they all forsook him. And only one came back. And it was the one who knew he was loved. Love always draws you back. In the midst of your failure, you're not disqualified. So let me show you how Jesus sees the world and see if you can swallow it. Because it might change your theology. And it might be good for you. I knew my little life is just a process of the awe of the love of God. It's what keeps me in ministry. Y'all have time? We can save it for tonight. You got time? You want some more? You want another helping? Yeah. Seconds, you've already been through the buffet line twice. Hey, let me show you. See, if we're going to live by knowing people according to the flesh, you'll never like yourself. Let alone your spouse. Let alone your kids, let alone your grandkids, or let alone your visiting preacher. Listen, you can't know anybody according to the flesh. You have to know them according to the cross. Otherwise, they'll get on your nerves. Remember Peter the apostle? He was the best cusser in Jesus' ministry. I mean, he could cuss you up one side, down the other, and really enjoy it and do a really good job at it. Remember Peter, after Jesus was raised from the dead and Jesus restored him in the love of God in Christ and said, "Peter, do you understand my love for you? Do you not love me?" Do you know Peter's assignment in the love of the Father is only to feed people? Just get people to the table. Let the Father unveil the astonishing love of God in Christ, which is God's picture of them is reconciled and accepted in the Beloved. So Peter, you know, on the day of Pentecost, he was there. In fact, he was the one who stood to preach in Acts 2, right? And he preached on the death and the risenness of Jesus, and 3,000 people said, "That sounds good to me. I went in," right? They were saved. They were received of God's love and God's life. But Peter still had a bad theology that was based on an old system, not on a new covenant. So God had to change his worldview. And to change his worldview, Peter couldn't get it while he was conscious. So God said, "Okay, I'll make you unconscious." You know, the Father doesn't need you conscious to change your mind. The Father can sedate you. And sometimes you'll like it better when you're sedated. You know, it's amazing how many people kick and fight the love of the Father. Boy, they get mad if you let them think that somebody is justified before the Father because of the Lamb, and they don't like their whatever. Look. Actions, added, whatever, their theology level, whatever. I mean, we're so quick to write people off. So Peter was writing people off. So the Father said, "You know what? Since you can't get it, Peter, you're so self-righteous and you're so exclusive, I want to show you how inclusive I am through the lens of the Lamb." So God knocked Peter out. He sedated him. And that's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 10. Remember, Peter went to the housetop to pray. Now, Acts chapter 10 is several years after Acts chapter 2. So time has passed. And Peter still couldn't get it. So God says, "Okay, if you can't get it while you're conscious, I'll give it to you while you're unconscious." And God sedates him. Knocks him out. Puts him in a trance. Gives him a vision. Verse 9 says this. "The next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray." It was about the sixth hour. Verse 10. "Then he became very hungry and he wanted to eat." What are we talking about? Coming and dining. See, there has to be some sense of appetite in you to sit at the table. Now, if you're so stinking self-righteous and you got it all figured out, the love of God's too simple for you. You just can't go and get the thrill. But the way the Father serves it will astonish you. But you got to sit down. You got to sit at the table. So he got hungry, had a hunger pain. While they made ready, he fell into a trance. So he goes from consciousness to unconsciousness. Verse 11. "And he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth." I call this the heavenly picnic. The sheet, the food, it's like you're going to the park. Verse 12. "In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air." Verse 13. "And a voice came to him, 'Rise.'" Now, this is the voice of God. This is the Father speaking. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Verse 14. "But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, not so, Lord, not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything common or dirty." Unclean. So Peter is sitting at the Father's table. Not by choice, but but God has him there. Father serves him a meal that Peter doesn't understand. But it's because he can't see it through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He only can see things according to the flesh. So Peter said, I'm going to pass the plate. No thanks. Not so. I've never eaten anything dirty. My righteousness is based on what I eat. It's based on what I do according to the law. So he passes the plate. So God said, okay, if you can't swallow it this time, I'll keep you sedated. And I'll pass the plate again. Let me just tell you, God's got the upper hand. Okay? And as long as you are in your earth suit, I don't care how hard-hearted you are now to the love of the Father, the day will come when that's all you have. And the Father will make it so. Where you just take in and say, you got to be kidding me. I'm good to God because of the Lamb. God in Christ reconciled me. He's got nothing on me. The blood has made me whole. Now look at this. It goes on. What verse we were in? Okay, verse 15. A voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call dirty. Now think about this. God says what he has cleansed, don't call dirty. God can only see somebody clean through Jesus. And he can only see somebody clean if he doesn't see them according to their flesh. If he sees them according to the redeemed innocent. And that's the amazing thing. What God has cleansed, don't call dirty. Verse 16. This was done three times. Then the picnic was taken away. And Peter came out of his trance. And you know, the revelation came. There was a knock at the door. Who was it? It was an outsider, not an insider. It was a Gentile, not a Jew. And the revelation is to see them in their reconciled, righteous position before the Father. And see them good to God from God's opinion of them. And now announce the reconciled position. And Peter went to the house. There were like 12 folks there of a big family and some of the relatives. They were passing the plates and munching on things. And they said, Peter, go ahead and tell us what we need to know. And he announced the revelation of what God did in Christ. They all believed. They received the reconciled position of the announcement that they're clean. That they're good to God because of the Lamb. They're not dirty according to the flesh. They're clean according to the cross. If we can announce it that way, faith will rise in the hearts of people. It will bring transformation. And this is the good news of the gospel. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. God really does love you. And he loves you completely. There's no disappointment in the Father concerning you because he doesn't see you or know you according to your flesh. And you're not to know him according to the flesh. You're not to know one another according to your flesh. If I knew myself according to the flesh, you know, whatever is not of faith is sin. You think I'm in faith 24/7? Are you kidding me? You know, the Bible says, if you know to do good and don't do it, it's a sin. What a bummer. You know, I don't always perform perfectly. I mean, if you want to be real strict with the regulation of the law, my righteousness is a gift granted. And I want to receive an abundance of this unmerited favor. And I want to receive an abundance of, you know, not only grace, but the righteousness which is by faith. So I can reign in life through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So I just want you to be encouraged today, this whole Thanksgiving week. Just be thrilled with God's love for you. Be thankful for it. Wake up in the morning. Go to bed at night. Take communion now and then. Say, God, you love me. It's amazing. I don't even love myself, God, half the time, but you love me. If you get so addicted to the love of God in Christ, you're going to change your worldview about you. You're going to change your worldview about people. You're going to be equipped by the grace of God to really be transformed into his likeness. Amen. Put your hands over your heart. Father, these are your precious people. Thank you for this great church. Father, thank you for the love of God in Christ. And Father, thank you for the song that we sang and the lyrics that I stand in awe of the never failing love of Jesus. Father, today I've just tried to break bread with these, your precious kids. and just share of the reconciled position we all have in Christ Jesus. Father, let our hearts be happy. Let us see ourselves the way you see us. Father, let us believe that what you've cleansed, we should never call dirty. Father, help us not to think of ourselves as just a dirty old bum, a dirty old pig, a dirty old this, or a dirty old that. Help us to believe that what God did in Christ is really real for us personally. Help us to feed and feed and feed and feed and feed. Lord Jesus, when you preached about this, about eating your flesh and drinking your blood, it made the whole crowd mad. They all left. The whole crowd left, Lord Jesus. And you even asked the disciples, disciples, you guys want to leave too? And they said, no, Jesus, you have the words of life. Father, when the love of God is uncomfortable, help us to still stay at the table. Help us not to try to just theologize everything away, just to put the control of everyone and everything and even ourselves in our own hands. But help us to trust you. Help us to believe. Let the work of Jesus be so prominent in our mind and in our soul that it motivates us to tell others and to go out and about and announce the good news. Thank you that we can change our lives, our families, our homes, our world with the love of God in Christ. Help us to announce the news and bring radical transformation in the hearts and lives of the people. And friend, if you're just sitting here now, just take a moment in this quiet time and just say, I receive God's love for me. I receive God's love for me. I believe it. I feed on it. I dine on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've never been born again, if you've never received the revelation of the finished work of Jesus to know that you're a new creation, like we read in 2 Corinthians 5, just do it right now in the quietness of this moment. Just say, I believe and I receive. I commit my life to you, Jesus. I believe in your death and in your resurrection. I feed on your body. I drink of your blood. I feed on the finished work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you praise for what you're doing in us and through us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Hey, friends, I'm going to be out and about there, so get the little magazine if you want to pray for the ministry while we're in the Philippines. Also, if you like this teaching, I have a series. It's called Come and Dine. It's three CDs. I think you'll like it. It will astonish you. And you'll have to hear it again and again. So it's back there. It's normally $20. It's $15. If you don't have $15, I'll bless you. Take one on the house as long as the supplies last. Also, I have a new little book called The Value of the Treasure. It's Experiencing God's Unconditional Love and Acceptance of You. If I were you, I like this book better than any of my other books because it's a book people can finish. How many of you have ever started a book that you never finished? Yeah, I have lots of them. But I'm not an avid reader, really. I read on the plane coming up here yesterday, but I'm a slow reader. But this is just on the love of God. This is like you're sitting at the table. Some of the stuff you're going to look and read, you're going to say, I don't know about that. You know what you do? Just pass the plate. Turn the page. Don't let it bug you. Just read. Then read it again. Get a highlighter. You know what I do? These are $3 or two for $5. Husbands, you know how you can minister to your wife if you just read a book with her? Put it in your pocket. Put it in your truck. Put it in a place. Put it in your bathroom. Just read a page or two or three. It's short. Get in awe of the love God has for you. And this is a book, I think, that will stir your spirit and really make your heart happy. So anyway, hey, I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. We're going to have us a big time. Thanks, Pastor Jan. Bless you all.
Praise God. Well, thank you, Keith. How many of you know he preached 1 John? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you guys ready to bless him? Let's take a moment and pray and ask the Lord what he'd have us give. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we'll take a moment And Father, you speak to our hearts what you'd have us to give. We thank you, Father, that whenever we obey your voice and whatever we do, we'll be better off for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, Keith will be with us this evening. Right, Keith? And it's all right to go ahead and cry a lot. You know, if I was you, I'd cry a lot too. I like to kid him. Praise God. Well, I'll take you out and serve you lunch today. Should I buy him a meal, congregation? Okay. I'll do it. Hallelujah. Well, as soon as we get through taking up the offering, then we'll go ahead and I want to open it up for the church this morning. I feel that the message that Keith was sharing is so important that a lot of us are blind to our own ignorance. And if you can truthfully say that you don't have a brother or sister in the Lord with you that you used to have, why aren't they there? Have you rejected them or have they rejected you? One thing we can't do is what people reject us for. But one thing we can do about us is remove that darkness so that we always accept them no matter what. And there's one statement that Keith said over and over again that is so important, is to make sure that you don't know them after the flesh. I'll tell you, when you begin to know people after the flesh, it can do a number on you. You have to deal with that, because the love of God passes that knowledge of what they are in the natural. Because he said they never give up on you. So you have to see people according to what God has made them. And then you'll find a way to work with them. But if you can see people after their flesh, then God has not removed enough darkness in you. One thing about the nation of Israel, God removed them from Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. We don't want to be that testimony. We want God to work on our heart and life so that we're so full of light that no matter who we come in contact with, we can help them. If they need help, we should be the ones to help them. Stand up, everybody. With every head bowed. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, when we conclude this service, Father, I just felt stirred in my spirit to invite them up to the altar and to kneel at the altar and talk with you. Father, because of the importance of this message, Father, I really believe that this is the opportune time for us to commune with you, to make sure that our hearts are right, or we need to stand accountable to maybe some issues in our life with other people that need to be corrected. Whatever it is, Father, we want to give the altar its opportune time for people to talk to you. This is serious business. It's life or death. For Father, the same mind that fellowships with you, fellowships with people. Speak to everyone's heart here. Father, if there's anybody here that has never known you, Father, we want to take a moment and say, if you've never known Jesus after the Spirit and you would like to receive him as your Savior, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. So if you're here and you want to receive him, feel free to step out right now and come forward. Salvation is open for everyone. Hallelujah. Don't let nothing stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to go ahead and say a prayer of dismissal. Those of you that want to come, just take a moment at the altar with the Lord. Please do that. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message this morning. And I thank you for the word that you've given us. Father, every one of us that are here was ordained to hear this message. May we all act on it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Those of you that would like to come up, just kneel at the altar and talk to the Lord. Please feel free to do that.